as a way of getting you up to speed, if you have not been here or if you're visiting with us, I know we're I think we're Facebook Live this morning, so I want to welcome everyone who's listening to us there. We have been studying about leadership this quarter, and we will continue that study. And it's the idea of being spiritual leaders, not just in what we may normally be used to studying about in the hierarchy of the church, and studying about the leaders as it relates to the elders, and of course as it relates to Christ as our spiritual leader. But this is about all of us, and the idea that we all need to be spiritual leaders. And we do that in a multitude of ways when we are out interacting with others, and when we're here among brothers and sisters in Christ. The idea that being better leaders will give us an opportunity to guide others to Christ. And not taking on some of these characteristics that we're talking about as leaders will in fact hinder us from being able to reach out and guide others to Christ. We've talked about the idea, by way of introduction, the first week, of why study leadership and that effect it can have on spreading the gospel. We talked about some of the things that come to mind whenever you think about the word leader or the word leadership, and you shared many of those things with the class, and we'll continue to go back and highlight those things that you brought up and said. Last week, we talked about the idea of what is the origin of leadership? Where did that come from? Just the idea in and of itself. And we found scriptural reference to the hierarchy that God began to establish even early on in His creation, this idea of leadership, of those guiding others, right? And we talked about our first characteristic, that leaders are never satisfied. They're always looking to that next mountain peak, right? So, what we want to look at this morning is another characteristic of leadership. When I went back and looked at some of the things that you all had mentioned that first week, a couple of things came or popped out at me on that list. One was vision, and one was guide. These were words that you guys threw out there when we talked about what do you think of when you think of leadership or leader. Vision and guide. Now thinking about those two words, somebody throw out some ideas that those make you think of. Vision, guide. What's something that comes to mind when you think of those words? Direction, okay? That's good. A plan, okay? Plan. What else?
An example,
okay? Vision, guide.
A good hearer, person who can really listen.
Okay, someone who listens.
As you put the plan into action, you listen to people, listen.
Okay.
You listen.
Well, a vision statement is where you're going.
Okay, right. Vision statement is where you're going. I like that. And where you're going, you might need a guide, right?
Pattern.
A pattern. All right, so thinking about these words guide and vision and elaborating as we are now on these, what comes to mind as a characteristic of leadership is the idea of being disciplined. The idea of being disciplined where you are able to manage distractions. If you are on a trip and you have never been where you're trying to go, you might hire a guide, right? You might bring someone in whose sole purpose is to get you from point A to point B, right? What if that guide that you've brought in, whose sole purpose is to get you from point A to point B, has no focus? Or no vision, no plan. All these things we just talked about, right, as the idea of guide and vision comes to mind. It's, you know, hey, we've got you on board now. We need to get to point B. How do we get there? Well, we'll kind of just start heading this way. And you know, if we see this over here, maybe we'll go this way. And that's not going to go over well with me. We got a guide whose sole purpose is to get us from point A to point B. We want them to have a vision and not have distractions, be able to focus, right? So as we think about leaders and being a guide and having a vision, getting us where we need to go, leaders need to be disciplined and need to be able to manage distractions. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll begin in verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? As we think about Peter, and Peter looking out into the storm, seeing Christ walking on the water. And while many would have just stayed in the boat in awe and in amazement, what did Peter want to do? He wanted to get out there and meet Christ on the water. See some leadership traits here in Peter, right? But what happened? Peter initially, with Christ saying, come, was full of faith. Stepped out and did what? Walked on the water. Then what happened? Peter became distracted, right? When Peter was looking and his sole focus was on Christ and Christ saying, come, had all the faith in the world that he could walk on water. But as soon as that distraction came in, Peter began to sink, right? Let's look at Luke chapter 10. This is kind of how we've done this quarter, and we'll continue to. We want to look at a lot of Scripture. I know everyone in here is okay with that. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We all know the story, right? I mean, they have Jesus in their home. How many of us, we prepare to have someone over, maybe someone we haven't seen in a while, maybe someone who we just really hold in high regard, and I mean, it's all hands on deck, right? You know, Dustin may actually clean something for that kind of event, maybe. It's all hands on deck. Everybody's getting the things ready, and sometimes even by the time they get there, maybe there's a few things left to do, and so we're scrambling. Jesus is here in their home. And immediately, where is Martha's attention when he arrives? It's on him. Solely on Jesus. I say Martha. Meant Mary. I said, okay. Back up. Mary, solely on Jesus. But Martha, what? Martha's still trying to get things in order. Now, is there anything wrong in and of itself of the things Martha was doing? Not at all. Right? Not at all. The things Martha was doing were, who were they for? It was for Christ, wasn't it? Wow, you mean we can be distracted from Christ by doing things for Christ? You ever thought about that? Happened to Martha. What about Matthew chapter 4? Matthew chapter 4, and we begin in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. All of us are faced with distraction. We are not immune to them. Even Christ faced distraction. When the devil asks, If thou be the Son of God, do you think there was any doubt or question in the devil's mind as to whether or not Jesus was the Son of God? No. We know from other passages the devils know who he is. And tremble. The devil knew who he was. And even knowing who he was, did that stop him from trying to distract Christ? It didn't. So who of us thinks that we are above the distraction of the devil? If even knowing who Christ was, he threw those temptations at him. Right? What does 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tell us? He does. As Satan prowls as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right? It's not only that he does it, he doesn't do it on occasion. It's not a side gig. What is the devil's constant? Seeking us. Right? He has no other distractions. To play with the words we're using this morning, the devil is solely focused on us.
One thing we should realize,
that's right. That's right. That's interesting. We find here in Matthew chapter 4, isn't it, Sam?
Right.
Right?
Why he was trying to send Jesus, send the first response from Jesus, it is written, where he used the scripture too, but
that's right.
He misused the scripture. I think that came from Psalm Psalm 91, verse 11. Psalm 91, verse 11 is, he misuses it to distract Christ.
That's right.
But we should realize that spiritual distractions come from the devil. But Jesus keeps us focused on God. And so in our effort, in our vision, when we have distractors or distractions, we're supposed to guide the distractor in the framework of the goal of the vision, which is God.
That's right. We're going to get to that here in a bit, Sam.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
I'm sorry.
So as we look at these other examples of distractions, look at Luke chapter 8, verse 7. And in context, let's go back to verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There in verse 7, the seed is spread. The gospel is given. And is it received? Yes. It's received, and not only is it received, but it's beginning to flourish. But what does it say is with it? And I think that's interesting. It says, what grows up with it? The thorns. Didn't come in later. Grows up with it. Makes me think about that idea of becoming a Christian and failing to cut some ties. Becoming a Christian and not quite being ready to leave all things behind. And what'll happen? Distractions. As you begin to try to grow as a Christian, those things that you haven't pruned and you haven't left behind, weeded out, they're going to grow with you. You know, as we talked about just now, the devil is not going anywhere. In fact, when you become a Christian, what does the devil do? He cranks it up to the next level, right? So as we look at the thorns growing up with and beginning to choke out, those distractions. Some of those distractions can look like different things. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we begin in verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What can distractions look like in our lives? They can look like the ordinary, everyday things. Right? Distractions can look like the ordinary, everyday things. The clothes that we'll put on. The food that we'll eat. It's not always the big, grandioso thing that will steer our mind's eye away from God. Sometimes it's getting caught up in those little everyday things that can be a distraction on our focus. The worry or the anxiety about our needs in life. And I want to make the statement, we all do it. I think it's an accurate statement. I don't want to speak for anyone else, but we all have those days where we think about stuff. Well, things are a little tight this month, or this medical bill happened, or this, the car, I got to put 4 new tires on it. Man, you priced a tire lately? Tony, I know you hadn't, but maybe everybody else has. Sometimes it's those everyday things, right? It'll be big distractions. The leader stays focused. What about what about this? 1 John chapter 2. As now we look at what distractions look like. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Many times distractions are because there are things in this world we just love too much. You know, I think we'll all agree that there are many things in this life that, again, in and of themselves, there's not a thing wrong with. And we have great passion about those things. And again, nothing wrong with that. So when Holy Spirit says here, if you love the world, you do not love the Father, how do we reconcile that? No, I think. Right. Right.
Neither has it entered into our minds what he had prepared for us, waiting on us, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think verse 7 or 8.
Okay.
Verse 7 and verse
8. Right, so.
So, you know, is that sometimes I hear that, I say, wow.
Yeah. So as we go back to the idea of God says, do not, get my thoughts back to him. Neither the things are in this world. If one man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, thinking about loving things in this world, well, God blesses us with a lot of things in this world. He blesses us with our home. He blesses us with our job, with our the food, the air we breathe, right? These are all blessings from God. And think, well, I love what God has blessed me with. And is there anything wrong with loving the blessings of God? Having great passion, I guess, or whatever the word I'm trying to find here, of the things that God has given us.
Enjoyment, appreciation.
Sure, the enjoyment, the appreciation, maybe those are better words. In and of itself, thankfulness, enjoyment, appreciation of the blessings God has given us, we need to have those things, right? But what is it, and what Sam's getting to here is the idea of, but I love those things beyond thinking about the blessings from above or the blessings to come, right? It's the idea of I love this world's stuff so much, blessing from God or not, I love this world's stuff so much that's my focus. And I want more of that stuff because I love that stuff so much, right? We understand they're blessings from God. But just as we said previously, can we even be distracted by blessings from God?
Absolutely. Jesus would often talk about loving father and mother.
That's right.
Which he said was a commandment, you know. But in Matthew 10, he talks about what you're describing, loving them more than him, loving right. Father, even your father and mother more than the Lord.
Right.
And then that's the problem.
Absolutely. Right.
So let's think about what that looks like in a real world scenario, right?
Sure. Right.
Football and any other activity they like doing. Maybe they're really good at something in school. And we really want them to excel in school because you should be a good student. God commands that you should study and you should learn things and you know not be in the world, not of the world.
Sure.
But there's an event coming up. And this event only happens once a year, right? And it happens to be on Wednesday. And we really, really want Johnny or Susie to go to that event, but maybe we spent a little bit of effort in saying, you know, we really need to make sure we go to Bible study on Wednesday night too. But they really want to do it really, really bad. What do we do then? Because we love our children and we're told to take care of our children. There's a line that we have to draw there somewhere so that we understand and we let our children know, hey, we got to do what the Bible tells us.
That's right. No, that's absolutely the idea here. Sure. No, we're definitely talking about a heart matter at this point. Absolutely. If you look at, let's look at one more, and then I want to kind of move on to the next section here. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. What do distractions look like? Talked about distractions of even spiritual nature. We talked about distractions of the bad things that happen around us, as Peter saw. We talked about the distractions of the needs of this world, the distractions of the stuff of this world. What about this? Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Distractions in this world can look like trying to please those in this world before pleasing Christ, before pleasing God. Go ahead, Matt.
If we look at the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, they were doing a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. And God says, I know your works and your patience and you hate the liars and the false apostles, but they had left their first love. I mean, they're told to repent.
Yeah.
They were doing, if you looked at that congregation, you'd say, man, they're doing all the right things.
They're busy.
They're busy. They're working. Yeah. They're patient and kicking out all these people who were speaking lies and hypocrisies, but they had left their first love, and they were told to repent. So.
Right.
Good things, but they had taken their lost their focus.
Right. Well, and let's look at, as we're thinking about here in Galatians, so we're talking about the idea of being a leader, and that carrying over into even where we are, maybe in our jobs or at school or wherever it may be out in society. And that's good. That's part of what we're talking about. Being a leader in those places will help you to have the opportunity to teach others, right? But what if being a leader in those places starts to supersede being the right spiritual leader? So now you've grown in this leadership, you've built up, and now you should have this opportunity, but it all of a sudden has crossed over to where, well, am I pleasing man or am I pleasing God? This leadership feels good. I like that people are coming to me. I like that I'm directing people. So now, am I persuading men? Am I seeking to please men? Or is my focus still on pleasing God? And what we read about here in Galatians. So, distractions can look like a lot of different things. But where should we put our focus? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Yes, sir. One of the characteristics we will talk about this quarter is leaders are balanced. So, you're head up. We're just about out of time. I'll hit one thing here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, because I've already directed you there, and then we'll finish up this characteristic next week. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we are to put our focus, our vision on something to keep us from distraction, to keep us focused, to keep us disciplined as a leader, where should that focus and vision be? It should be on Christ. Right? Should be on Christ. I want that guide who's trying to get me from point A to point B, I want him to know where point B is, and I want that to be his focus. I want that guide's vision to be, I've got this person that I'm trying to get there. Right? As leaders, as spiritual leaders, we have to have our vision focused on Christ so that we are not distracted and we can properly manage those things and be disciplined and help others be more disciplined as well. All right, like I said, we'll finish up the last couple of things. We're going to talk about some tools to help us be disciplined and manage distraction, and we'll finish that and then move on to another characteristic. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road Congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.